I'm Scott French, Associate Professor of Digital and Public History, and you are listening to the Riches Documentary Podcast. Welcome to the Riches Documentary Podcast. Riches, the regional initiative for collecting the histories, experiences, and stories of Central Florida, is an umbrella program housing interdisciplinary public history projects that bring together different departments at the University of Central Florida with profit and nonprofit sectors of the community in order to promote the collection and preservation of the region's history. By facilitating research that records and presents the stories of communities, businesses, and institutions in Central Florida, Riches seeks to provide the region with a deeper sense of its heritage. This series will feature a podcast every 2 weeks in the middle and at the end of each month that will explore various aspects of Central Florida's history. In today's episode, Hamilton Holt and Rollins College, Old Fangled Education, Part 2, former president of Rollins College, Thaddeus Seymour, and Professor Jack Lane discuss the influential life of Hamilton Holt, one of the most celebrated and well-known presidents of the college.
How is Hamilton Holt's allowance of the teaching of evolution important historically and perceived by the surrounding area?
And by the 1920s, though, the town, which was primarily northern influence, was still very, very conservative in its views. And the state itself, as you may well know, was southern, basically dominated by the northern tier, which is basically North Florida, southern, South Florida's, whatever it is, Caribbean, I guess, Tallahassee was dominated by these rural counties up in the north, and they passed a law preventing the teaching of evolution. And by that time, they had been teaching it at the college here for forever, you know, ever since it was introduced. You know, by the time the college started, evolution was already pretty much a scientific, accepted scientifically. So when they passed the law in the mid to late 20s, I'm not quite sure, in Tallahassee, when they were debating the law, Holt gathered together four buses of students and people in the town and went to Tallahassee to protest it. And in that sense, Rollins has always been a kind of, and in an area that was still basically southern here, in the whole area here, Rollins was a kind of enclave that was seen as something kind of weird and unusual.
How impactful and connected has Rollins College been with the surrounding community in Winter Park?
The college was deeply involved in this community. I've been to many other colleges and visited and stayed there and taught at them, but I've never seen a college that's so deeply connected to the community. You know, the first president of Rollins College was the first minister of the Congregational Church. Of course, this was a congregational college at the beginning. It was created by the Florida Congregational Association. And the person who was president, not president of the college, but president of the corporation, was a person here in town who was building the Seminole Hotel over here. So the town created the college, actually. And from that point on, there was a very strong connection with the college. This town tended to be, and very shortly, by the 1920s, it became a kind of artist colony where prominent people came down for the winter, writers and artists of all kinds. And so the college and the town were always deeply connected. Holt invited these people when they would come down to the college to teach or to speak or whatever.
What impactful influences have come from Rollins College and Hamilton Holt to the greater Central Florida area?
Well, I think probably the most prominent community activity was the Animated Magazine, which was held every year in February and had really world-class participants. you can go through the program for the 24 anime magazines that Hamilton Holt was responsible for, probably 22, and you'll see a cast of characters who are the leaders of society in that time. And people came from all over to hear them and see them. As I mentioned in my talk today, there were 5,000 people who came to hear Edward R. Murrow when he spoke here. There are not many events outside of basketball and UCF football where you get 5,000 people to hear a speaker.
Could you tell us about Zora Neale Hurston and her friendship with Hamilton Holt?
Zora Neale Hurston had a deep connection with this college and would come to visit a professor. When she would come down to Eatonville, she would often come over and visit Rawlings professors and stay in their home. And Holt had to, at various times when the community and neighbors saw a black person staying in a white person's home, had to actually called up Holt and said, you know, this is not acceptable and so forth. You're going to have to get rid of this professor. And Holt was supported his professors very much. And in fact, had Zora Neale Hurston came to the campus and presented one of her plays one time, you might know.
How was Rollins College and Hamilton Holt progressive when it came to racial issues in the context of the time and community?
Rollins was the first college in Florida to present an honorary degree to a black person, to Mary Bethune, who was president of Bethune, what is now Bethune-Cookman at the time. So the college has been, along with the evolutionary, in the period when evolution was seen as a controversy, thank goodness it's not now, right? Seen as controversial, Rollins was always out in the forefront, a little bit to the left of this community all the time. And Holt had to defend it.
How was Hamilton Holt connected to the peace movement and Andrew Carnegie?
Well, Andrew Carnegie was one of a large circle of his friends, but he clearly, in his relationship with Carnegie, was addressing and promoting the issue of world peace, which eventually led to Andrew Carnegie leaving a major portion of his resources to establish the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, which is located right across from the UN in New York. And on NPR programs and on the McNeil-Lehrer report, you almost always see a commentator who has identified as a member of the Carnegie Endowment. Hamilton Holt clearly had an important influence on Carnegie because Hamilton Holt was probably the most active and visible voice for world peace in America in the early part of the 20th century. He traveled with William Howard Taft, who led the effort to have America join the League of Nations. He worked with Woodrow Wilson. He helped Woodrow Wilson draft the covenant that was the foundation for the for the League of Nations. So Hamilton Holt attended every major peace conference during his years before coming to Rollins. And indeed, he attended the opening session of the United Nations in San Francisco right after World War II.
Could you tell us the story of the monument that was built for world peace on Rollins College that Hamilton Holt erected and what happened to it?
Hamilton Holt wanted to have a tangible reminder of the importance of world peace. And in 1938, he dedicated a monument on the campus, which had an artillery shell at the top, a shell donated by a Rollins alumnus who had served in World War I, and then had a text which in effect said, "Pause, passerby, and hang your head in shame." And his point was, hang your head in shame that we are using this artillery shell as a way to resolve the problems among humankind. On the back of the monument was a quotation from Victor Hugo, who said, "Someday a artillery shell and cannon will be in a museum as torture equipment is in a museum today, where they show the rack and the stocks as a reminder of how little we understood the real issues of humankind. Peace Monument stood for many years, but then during World War II, it was vandalized and destroyed in 1943. And I've always felt that's very understandable. We were in the middle of our own Second World War. We were fighting for our own lives and survival against the Germans and Italians and the Japanese. And something that seemed to be critical of war was obviously contrary to what people felt in 1943. So the statue was destroyed, but we did, in remodeling the Mills library, we did find a portion of the statue and were able to reinstall it. We had a ceremony in 1988 to do that.
Could you tell us about Hamilton Holt's multiple interactions with former U.S. presidents?
The Hamilton Holt had presidents among his friends. He corresponded with Franklin Roosevelt long before he came to Rollins. He was very close to Woodrow Wilson. So in a way, it's no surprise that when he came to Rollins, he would expect that the President of the United States should come and pay a visit and be a part of the place. So he invited Calvin Coolidge, who came in 1928, and then he invited Franklin Delano Roosevelt and Eleanor Roosevelt to come in 1936, and they received honorary degrees. And then just before he retired, when Harry Truman was president, he invited Harry Truman to campus. And as part of that ceremony, Hamilton Holt spoke from the pulpit of the Knowles Chapel and gave what he called an open sermon to the President of the United States. And he spoke about the importance of peace, the dangers of atomic power, and the abuse of atomic power, and was very forthright in making the case for world peace to the President of the United States.
How has Winter Park and Rollins College contrasted with the southern nature of their surroundings?
I think Winter Park is an interesting, has been historically an interesting town in this. And really and truly, it's hard to imagine Winter Park without Rollins and Rollins without Winter Park. So the two of them were deeply, deeply intertwined. But Winter Park has always been an interesting, it seems to me, an interesting town in this area, in that it was started and plotted by a couple, three Northeasterners, and their intention was to draw Northeasterners down here who were already coming. And so his idea was to start a town here, to lay out a town, and the town as you see it here was pretty much as they laid it out, and to create this 150-room hotel on Lake Osceola for Northeastern tourists. So the result was that over a period of several decades, this town became a Northeastern town virtually. It just was almost from the very beginning. When I came here in 63, I never heard a Southern accent as long as I was on the campus. I would go off into restaurants and you'd hear plenty of them still. But I never heard, outside of Winter Park, or you would walk downtown Winter Park, you never heard a Southern accent. So the town was always a slight anomaly here in this town. You know, the Orlando Country Club was the center of power in this town. And I remember in the 60s coming here, and my son was taking dancing lessons, and they were having a cotillion over there. And I went over there, and I thought I'd gotten my degrees in Georgia. I was back in Georgia. It was very, very Southern. So that this town and this college has always been a bit of an anomaly in this area here, and looked upon in some ways as barely tolerated. You know, also when I came here, this college was better known in Massachusetts than it was in Tallahassee.
As we have heard, Hamilton Holt was an immensely influential and fascinating individual. His influence on Rollins College and the surrounding Central Florida area is vast and his intrepid accomplishments and ideals provide inspirational chapters in the history of Winter Park and Central Florida.
Thank you for listening to the Riches Documentary Podcast. Feel free to contact us with any questions or comments on the program that you just heard. Please join us for the next episode, Jones High School, Desegregation and the Integration of Florida Schools, Part 1.